Ebony Magazine turns 76 tomorrow, an anniversary it nearly wasn't able to reach. As NPR's Andrew Craig reports, the mainstay of Black American culture is attempting a revival and reaching back into Black history to do it.
I am America. I am the part you won't recognize, but get used to me. This Muhammad Ali quote is scrawled on the cover of Ebony Magazine's August 2016 issue. It's a special collector's edition, a tribute to Ali, shortly after he died. It lies on a table about 14 feet long, awash with anthologies, political pamphlets, and poetry, all by Black authors. Welcome to For Keeps Bookstore.
Well, I'm Rosa, by the way.
Hi. All the time. All
right. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Owner Rosa Duffy collects Ebony magazines.
If you grew up in a Black household, Ebonies were everywhere. It's almost like, you know, first nature. So, you know, it's one of our languages.
Ebony magazine has shown the glamour and grit of Black life since November 1st, 1945, when Black entrepreneur John Johnson published the first issue. He intended it to be a Black version of Henry Luce's Life magazine. Ebony's stories and glossy photos of Black politicians, athletes, artists, models, and college students have fed the souls of Blacks for generations. Rose's friend, W.J. Lofton, was visiting the store that day.
It allows us to see ourselves and also takes the Black experience and it shares it with the world. The pages in Ebony, it's cartography.
Ebony stopped printing its magazine in 2019, and after years of financial and legal troubles, John Johnson's company went bankrupt in 2020. Milwaukee Bucks alum and Black businessman Junior Bridgman bought Ebony and its sister magazine Jet for $14 million in December 2020. Ebony has since embraced a purely digital format to reach audiences, but finds itself in a marketplace now crowded with Black stories. Clint Wilson taught journalism at Howard University and recalls a similar moment during the civil rights era.
The white press, not just the written press, but television news shows at that time, you had NBC, ABC, CBS, they were all covering stories of civil rights.
This is a CBS News special report with CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite.
The summer of 1964 will be marked in history as the summer of civil rights.
We just lost control of our own news.
Sit-in demonstrators at a lunch counter were doused with mustard and ketchup the first day. Policemen occasionally clubbed demonstrators and used a variety of other tactics designed to break their spirit.
To Wilson, our own news means the Black press, outlets like the Chicago Defender and the now-defunct Pittsburgh Courier, founded by and dedicated to Black people. Wilson estimates around 200 are still around, and he says buried in the history of the Black press may be clues for how to compete today.
If we go back to the founding of the Black press, there was a hunger, a thirst to unify as a community.
The first Black newspaper, called Freedom's Journal, was founded in 1827. Frederick Douglass launched the North Star in 1848, and Charlotta Bass took the helm of the California Eagle in 1912.
When the movie Birth of a Nation was being filmed, she was the one that alerted other Black publications around the country that this film was being made. She crusaded against the film
and had some success in removing it from theaters. Abolition, voting rights, racist housing and labor practices, they were all among the many issues the Black press addressed. And there are echoes of this spirit in today's Ebony and their new motto, Move Black Forward.
To generational wealth.
Michelle G became Ebony CEO in January.
African Americans are not getting compensated, they're not getting hired at the rate in which they're contributing to the American fabric. And so we have to begin to educate, but also give people tools so that they can, too, begin to build their businesses. I'm flying from place to place, literally meeting small businesses. How can we help you? How can we support?
I am Kristen Breckenridge, and I am the owner-operator of Third Eye View.
Third Eye View provides affordable vision screenings, eye exams, and eyewear to the underserved. It was one of the businesses in Houston at Ebony's Block Party event, designed to highlight and empower small Black businesses. There have also been block parties in Atlanta, New York, and New Orleans.
The exposure, marketing tactics, it really fostered almost a sense of pride within our people just to be working alongside with them.
Ebony isn't abandoning celebrity and entertainment, but in doubling down on content that builds financial literacy and wealth and business ownership, Brookings Institution senior fellow Andre Perry sees engagement in the fight for economic parity and mobility and a strike at racism.
Our elders used to say our ice is just as cold. They knew that our services, our goods are just as good. And so if we can remove those negative stereotypes, we can really eat at the wealth divide that currently exists.
Ebony is gambling that its new approach will make a difference and pay off for the magazine. The dice in Ebony's hand, they were carved from the bones of Black activism. Andrew Craig, NPR News.